Morning, Senator.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you with us. Of course, we've had our primary election this week in Arkansas, which narrowed things down a little bit for November. But here in the 1st District Congressional race, we'll have a runoff to decide who's going to go up against incumbent Rick Crawford. Were you surprised at all by that race?
You know, I really wasn't surprised yet. You had some really good candidates in there, and two are remaining. And I just hope people go out to the polls in, 3 weeks now, and get out there and vote and let your voice be heard and, you know, get a good nominee there and see what happens in the fall.
A couple of really important House races in the state, at least. There's a runoff on the Democratic side also in the 4th District.
Yeah, there is. Here again, we see the Democratic Party has lots of candidates, and they believe in primaries in the Arkansas Democratic Party. So both the congressional races that were contested on the Democratic side have primaries and, have runoffs. And, you know, we'll see what the 4th District does as well. And that's an open seat. Mike Ross is retiring, so we'll see what happens down there.
And, of course, this is setting things up for what could be a very interesting race in November and in both these districts.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think that there's a lot of question about kind of where Arkansas is politically right now. You know, Democrat, Republican, red, blue. I mean, the folks in Washington love to speculate on that and talk about that. The truth is, in Arkansas, I think people tend to vote for the candidate. And I think party affiliation is not as important as, you know, it's hard to get through people's heads up here in Washington sometimes, but it's just not that important to us. We want the best person in there to represent us, that kind of represents our values and our attitudes. And like I said, I think there's a question mark about who these two congressional districts want to send to Washington for the next 2 years.
What did you make of the Arkansas primary challenge for the Democratic nomination for president? This Chattanooga lawyer, John Wolf, got over 40% of the Arkansas vote against the sitting president.
Yeah, you know, I think that that's kind of predictable, honestly. I've been hearing a lot of grousing about President Obama in Arkansas from Democrats as well. And, you know, there are some people obviously just don't like him and want anybody but him. But I think most Arkansans, they understand that it's a tough job. He really does have the hardest job in the world. And there are a lot of people in Washington trying to make it harder. But still, folks in Arkansas don't always agree with him on his various positions and his approaches to things. But, you know, that was a chance for people to have a protest vote. And I think that's what happened. Of course, the president still carried the state fairly handily. But nonetheless, there was a pretty sizable protest vote there.
Yeah, some people may look at this vote and the one in Kentucky and wonder, you know, southern states, they may wonder if race is a factor.
Well, you know, I just don't know the answer to that. I'm not sure that there's any empirical data. I think that that's kind of hard to gauge on a poll because I'm not sure people are always honest about race on polls, but, you know, it's just hard to know, and there is some speculation about that, but I just don't know. I think West Virginia had a similar result a few weeks ago. They actually had a guy who was a convicted felon who was in prison. Of course, no one knew that. It was, I mean, if people had known that, they may have voted different. But, you know, it's hard to know. But I do know this. We are living in a very, very difficult time to govern. Things are so divided. And in today's world, if someone comes out and says the sky is blue, you get 10 minutes later, the blogosphere, people holding press conferences, websites, cable talk shows, AM talk radio, you name it. There are people out there criticizing pretty much anything you say or do right now. It's a really hard environment to govern.
There has been what seems to be a notable shift to the right in the way Arkansans vote in the past few years. How do things look for Democrats in November in Arkansas?
You know, I think actually pretty good. I think that I don't know this because I don't pretend to know this, know all the answers here, but I do know this, that when I've been in Arkansas recently and talking to folks around the state capitol, I'd say a few months ago, they're like, oh, the Republicans are going to take the House and take the Senate. And what I'm hearing recently is that, you know what, the House looks like it's going to stay Democratic. It, of course, it all depends on turnout and all these other factors. The Senate probably will stay Democratic, no guarantee there. That's maybe closer. But I think Arkansas Democrats feel a little better. It's just like several months ago here in the Senate, most people were writing off the Senate in terms of the Democrats keeping control of it. But now, if you look at things that happen in Indiana, and you look at the Senator Lugar getting beat in his primary, and you look at former Senator Bob Kerry running in Nebraska, We have a very strong candidate, Heidi Heitkamp, in North Dakota, which originally people thought Democrats would not have a strong candidate there. So I think the Democrats are kind of feeling better about things. But, look, like I said, it's a difficult environment. The economy is still not very strong. We're getting good economic news, but we're just not getting enough of it. And for every good news story, every two or three good news stories you get economically, you get a bad news story. And so it's not clearly getting better, but you know, we'll just see what happens this fall.
Well, let's look at some of the things going on in Washington right now. I know there were some votes in the Senate last week on five different budget proposals, all of which were rejected. What's going on with the budget process?
Well, the budget process is not working very well here. I'll be honest with you. I thought those four Republican budgets were really not good budgets for Arkansas. Lots of cuts to programs that are important to us, really across the board, and it depends on, you know, which budget you're talking about. But some of those cuts were very, very severe and very rapid. And now there's a study out by, I believe it's by CBO, but it may be by the GAO. I don't remember right now who did it, but one government agency. They're predicting that if we allow all the Bush tax cuts to expire at the end of this year, and if we do big cuts in our spending, we're going to trigger a recession. So I think what we have to be here in Washington is sensible. Everybody wants to get the deficit under control. I've been leading the charge and banging the drum on that for a long time. But we have to be sensible in how we do it. We have to make sure that the way we do it makes economic sense. There are a lot of people here in Washington that rush off half-cocked, and they want to do a bunch of stuff that just doesn't make sense, that could do more harm than good. So we need to do this in a measured way, be smart about it, but we definitely need to get our spending under control and get our budget where it needs to be.
I understand there's a proposed farm bill getting ready to come to the floor of the Senate.
There is a farm bill that Senator Stabenow is pushing very hard. She's the chairman of the Ag Committee in the Senate, and we in Arkansas are not happy with the rice provisions in the Senate. Most of the crops have been kind of so-called taken care of in this legislation, but rice really takes it on the chin. And I'm concerned that if we pass this bill as is and this bill becomes law, I'm concerned that, and I'm not trying to, you know, be Chicken Little here, the sky's falling, but I'm concerned it really does kill the American rice industry the way it's structured. And a lot of this is because, with all due respect to my friends in the Midwest who grow corn and soybeans and things like that up there, they do not understand Southern agriculture, and they want to apply these Midwest farming principles to Southern agriculture, and it just doesn't work. It's just like we can't apply what we do to them. It won't work up there either. It's a different kind of agriculture. It's hotter in the South. The soil is different. The crop mix is different. I mean, it's just different, and they need to understand the differences, and they need to make sure that they need to work with us to make sure that we have a very healthy rice economy, not just in our state, but in our nation.
Another thing that's been an important issue for folks in rural America here in Arkansas, especially, the U.S. Postal Service, I understand, has decided not to close the small-town post offices for the time being, and there's a postal reform bill that passed the Senate, but it's getting stiff opposition in the House.
Yeah, the Senate passed this very big bipartisan vote, I guess, 3 weeks ago now. The following week, the Postal Service came out and announced that they were not going to close all those rural post offices. I actually had a provision in the Senate bill that asked them to not close those until this became law and they should revisit that issue. They came back with what I thought was a fair proposal. I mean, it's the best we could do under the circumstances, I think, and that is they're going to go to reduced hours in lots of low-volume post offices, and that means rural post offices. So that means that, you know, a lot of these post offices around Arkansas, but around the country, they may only be open for 2, 4, 6 hours a day, but they will have postal service in that town. They will be open on Saturday. So I feel like that was a pretty good compromise that the Postal Service offered. It's not perfect. It's not exactly what I wish, but I think under the circumstances, given the budget, given their budget considerations, I thought it was a fairly, good proposal.
What does this postal reform bill do, and why is there opposition to it?
You know, I don't know. I can't speak for the House. The House is just in a very different place than the Senate, and honestly, it's probably in a pretty different place than the American people. They're doing a lot of things in the House that I just don't agree with, don't understand, I don't try to predict what they're going to do, but it kind of baffles me that we have the Postal Service, which has been a mainstay of American society since the beginning. In fact, the post office is actually mentioned in the U.S. Constitution. In Article 1, they mention the postal system, that the Congress should establish a postal system, and we've taken that very seriously. We have a great postal service. It has a lot of problems right now. Some of those are legacy issues just because of a lot of factors, but some of those is because the whole world has changed around the post office with email, online bill pay, debit cards, things like that. That has all impacted the amount of first-class mail going through the system. So I think we should, I would hope that the House would pass the Senate bill or something very close to it. It was a bipartisan bill. It got better as it went through the Senate. It kind of shows you that if we work together, we can get things done in Washington. If you see Democrats and Republicans working together in the Senate, good things happen. I hope the House will pass the Senate bill or something very similar to it.
Now, I understand you've been working on some measures for veterans that you're going to introduce today, actually.
You know, I have been. Our veterans need our help right now. First is what we call the Hired Home Act, and basically what happens is when a lot of these guys come out of the military, they are trained better than anybody in the world. For example, their truck drivers are driving trucks in Iraq or Afghanistan. They've been driving over there for 2 years, 4 years, whatever. They've gone through all the schools. But then they come back here, and they don't have a CDL, a commercial driver's license. So what they have to do is they have to go to school, spend all this money, take all this time. That doesn't really make sense. Also, we see the same thing with nursing. We see a lot of the same things with medical techs, first responders, things like that, firefighters, et cetera. So what we want to do is when you need a specialty license like that, like a nursing license, like a commercial driver's license, we want the states to at least consider the military activity that these folks have gone through. And so that's the first bill. The second bill is the Service Member Employment Protection Act. And what we have there is there's already a law in the books that when folks are deployed, like in the National Guard, when they're deployed, they should have their job when they come back. You can't discriminate against someone and say, well, I'm firing you because you're in the National Guard. We're not going to let that happen. So this clarifies that law, but it also says that if they have a service-related injury, for example, they tear up their knee or they have to get some surgery on their neck or whatever it is, have to get some shrapnel removed or whatever it happens to be, they should get time off from their civilian job without pay. We're not asking the employers to pay for it, but we're asking the employers to give them some time off to get themselves healed and back on track.
And appropriate, of course, that we're talking about veterans as we approach Memorial Day. You have any plans for the day?
You know, I've probably been going to go to some of the memorial services around the state. I think this year I'm going to do the ones in Central Arkansas. I kind of move around on those, but mm-hmm. I think this year I'm going to do the big statewide ones that are done in Little Rock. So we appreciate our veterans, and I'll tell you, the folks we also appreciate is our military families, because they take the brunt of this, and we just appreciate their service and their sacrifice, and we want to honor them here this coming weekend.
And of course, Memorial Day, always time for families to get together and enjoy some time together, but also, you know, take a moment to remember why we have these freedoms that we have.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you for your time today, Senator.
Thank you. It's great talking to you.
Senator Mark Pryor joining us from his office in Washington. You're listening to Morning Edition on KASU.